6:32, welcome back into Morning Drive here on this Friday, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let's shoot it up to Knoxville right now as we welcome in our man Josh Ward from WNML. Josh, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing well. Great to be with you guys.
So let's look at this team going into the weekend. But before we get to the LSU game tomorrow, what has been the overall general reaction over the last week to the basketball team? Obviously, you get the loss last Saturday at Rupp Arena and then a very ugly win against Vanderbilt early in the week. What's the fan base reaction been this week?
Probably a little more positive than I would have expected if I had known the outcomes and just the way that Tennessee would play in the last two games. I think overall, Tennessee fans have remained optimistic about what Tennessee can do. And there might be a collection of reasons. Number one, just having seen Tennessee all season and the sample size of the year versus 1 week should get more weight, and I think that it has. And then Kentucky deals with an injury. You know, you get Kentucky at home. LSU loses to Florida, so there's a little separation there again for you in the SEC standings, plus the head-to-head opportunity. And then Duke going down to North Carolina, not knowing the full status and what will happen with Zion, but I think that's caused Tennessee fans to, for the most part, say, you know what, one game, maybe two games, let's not make too much of that. Now, if Tennessee were to struggle against LSU, then I think that would change the conversation.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you, Josh, because I'm not sure I've seen what I need to see out of Tennessee to think that they're going to go into Baton Rouge tomorrow morning and win, and I just think the athleticism and the matchups are a problem. Now, Tennessee can overcome that. They've played well against Kansas and Gonzaga in the past, but if that does happen and they lose, you know, that's sort of what I've thought all week long. Do fans think of it differently? Do they view it more as not just a blip on the radar, not just a – listen, two road losses to two top 15 teams is nothing really that – it's not really that big a deal. Are fans going to overreact to this?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it could then swing way too far the other way. I think what would really be the concerning part if Tennessee were to lose to LSU would be just the schedule coming up. Now, Tennessee has an opportunity. If it's able to beat Kentucky, then Tennessee can still be in a good position to at least try to share the SEC title. The goal here is to win it outright. And to do that, winning at LSU is really important, because Tennessee's schedule moving forward is more difficult than LSU's. Now, we don't know what's going to happen. LSU was at home against Florida the other night and went down. They have to play again in Gainesville. But if Tennessee's going to try to win the SEC championship outright, well, beating both LSU and Kentucky would be a really good way to do that. Then you can afford a loss somewhere else. And realistically, it's going to be very difficult for Tennessee to go 5-0 with those two games, plus Ole Miss on the road, Mississippi State at home, Auburn on the road. Those are five quality opponents that Tennessee still has to play. So part of it as well is, how does Tennessee play? What if Tennessee and LSU both go out there and, for the most part, they're both playing really good basketball and it comes down to the final couple of minutes and LSU gets the win at home? At that point, I don't think the reaction would be too negative. There would be disappointment, and the conversation would quickly turn to, well, Tennessee better win out from here. But I think a lot of it will be, how does Tennessee play? If Tennessee loses by playing the way that it did against Kentucky and still dealing with some of the struggles that it showed against Vanderbilt, that would cause the really negative reaction.
Now, was this a team that you see, based upon the last two games they played, Kentucky and Vandy, does this look like a team that's tired, that's just like physically tired after the getting beat up so much against Kentucky and then playing a Vanderbilt team at home during the weekdays? Does this seem like a team that's just tired right now?
It did look that way the other night. Yeah. Bryce Drew said that after the game. Rick Barnes didn't argue that idea when it was brought up to him in his post-game press conference. And Lamonte Turner, when he met with the media after the game, said that he was looking forward to having an off day on Wednesday, which was really going to be focused on rest and recovery, and that's it, before they got back to work yesterday. If you think about this stretch, every team has to go through it, so it's not like Tennessee's the only team playing two games a week in the SEC, traveling a lot. But Tennessee, as deep as it can be, I mean, Tennessee can go play 7, 8, 9 guys. It hasn't done that very often, and when it has, the guys at the end of that rotation have not played a lot of minutes. The top six for Tennessee have played a lot of minutes this season, and that's maybe taken its toll. So let's see if that helps. Tennessee having played on Tuesday, so getting 3 days in between the the game on Tuesday night against Vanderbilt, and then LSU on Saturday. Maybe there's some mental fatigue as well. I think the idea was that Tennessee playing the way that it did against Kentucky, that it would come out and whip up on Vanderbilt. Obviously, that didn't happen, and shots didn't fall. That might come back to some of the fatigue for Tennessee as well. But part of it would be, even though they went to overtime earlier in the season, Tennessee probably had a good idea it was going to win that basketball game. Mentally, it has to be locked in this weekend, and that's been actually for a team that's made up of veterans and they played a lot of basketball. That has been one of the bigger challenges, making sure that they're ready to go upstairs. And against Kentucky, they weren't. They better be against LSU for sure, because LSU knows as well on the other side, this is a really important game, having lost to Florida just a couple of days ago.
Josh Ward, WNML in Knoxville, is joining us here on Morning Drive. So last Friday, Josh, after we got done with the show, the news came out that Jeremy Pruitt has decided that Derek Ansley, defensive coordinator, will actually call the plays next year. What was your reaction to that? Because I thought that that was a positive if you're a Vols fan, because it shows that Pruitt is allowing and trusting in his staff. What was your takeaway from that?
Yeah, my first reaction was surprise. I did not anticipate that. There was an expectation that he was going to have a coordinator role, but then the question was, okay, is that a title that comes with arriving at Tennessee so they could hire him and give him a little more money? It's not that. It's a bigger role than I anticipated, and I think a lot of people did, with Jeremy Pruitt handing over the play-calling duties. I think there are probably a number of reasons. One, that's a sign that Jeremy Pruitt at least looked at his first year at Knoxville and said, maybe I'm doing too much here, trying to be the head coach, trying to run the defense and call plays during games. When he was asked why he was doing that last year, he said, I'm the best at doing it. And you couldn't really argue that fact, but it did make me wonder, okay, is that going to be too much to handle? So part of it has to be him saying yes. He also has to have, I think, legitimate respect for Derek Ansley. I don't think that Jeremy Pruitt would just hand it over to anybody. Which I think is proven. He didn't hand it over to Kevin Scherer or to Chris Rumpf, who were the co-defense coordinators this past year. He brought somebody else in who he has respect for. And then another question I have will be, all right, what happens next? Let's see how they play this season. Let's see how the defense performs. What if they have some struggles early on? What if Florida has a big performance, or Georgia or Alabama, which obviously could happen? If they do go through some growing pains together with a new first-time play caller and a team that's still trying to grow, and they'll probably have some young players out there on defense, are they able to fight through that? At some point, they probably will have to, and that'll be one of the on-field challenges for Tennessee this upcoming year.
So you're paying your coordinators $2.5 million. You've got one of the top 15 rosters according to recruiting rankings in America. We know that's not 100% accurate, but when you look at the recruiting rankings, it is what it is, Josh. This, to me, says raise levels of expectations. What are those expectations for Jeremy Pruitt in year two?
Yeah, and I think they're going to go up as we have this conversation during the offseason, which typically occurs, right? But I think it will be emphasized with Tennessee this offseason. I think Tennessee fans are going to look at the schedule and say, why can't we beat South Carolina at home? Why can't we beat Mississippi State at home? Missouri's got the NCAA stuff. Why can't we go beat them? And individually, I would say, yeah, Tennessee can win this game or that game. But collectively, it becomes more of a challenge. I think right now a lot of fans would say Tennessee better go win at least 7 games. And by the time we get to the summer months, fans are going to be saying 8 or 9 wins for Tennessee this year, which could happen. Year two is when you see the jump in college football for a lot of coaches who have big success at big-time programs. That's pretty well documented at this point. And I think Tennessee fans, with the staff that's brought in, the players that are coming in that will have a big impact immediately, is, again, based on their expectation. I think as we get to those big-time hype months of July and August, I think the win total expectation for Tennessee fans will probably go up pretty dramatically.
Now, Josh, looking at – I want to go back to basketball very quickly. Only got maybe a minute here. Looking at the Carolina-Duke game, the way Carolina was able to beat Duke, you're talking 4 freshmen against – you know, 4 guys on that Carolina team that are all upperclassmen. They've been together. They played a lot of basketball. They were able to beat the number one team in the country. Do you then kind of look at that and look at Tennessee's makeup, a lot of veterans on that team, guys that have played a lot of minutes? Does that give encouragement, you think, moving forward that, hey, we can, you know, beat a team full of one-and-dones because we've seen it done with Carolina versus Duke?
Yeah, I think the chemistry that Tennessee has built together, the experience that they have together on the floor, I think that's easily the biggest reason that Tennessee's players are confident in their ability to beat anybody, whether it's Kentucky again at Knoxville or a team like Duke that's loaded with talent if they were to play in the NCAA tournament. I also think that's why fans remain confident in this basketball team and them getting things figured out that they've been through it. We're going to learn a lot about this team. If they are able to rebound because of this five-game stretch to close out the regular season that I mentioned, but easily, I think when fans look at Admiral Schofield being there and Grant Williams and Bone and about the amount of basketball that they've played, that's why everybody is confident and not really anybody is panicking right now on Tennessee's last week.
Josh, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time. Have a good weekend. We'll chat next Friday.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Josh.
Josh Ward, WNML in Knoxville. We'll react to what he had to say as well as get into the Tennessee LSU game tomorrow morning, bright and early, 11 a.m. start. We'll talk about that next here on Morning Drive.
I'm going to talk about Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. And that, of course, is why we're not using the other guys anymore. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling will take care of your home. It's not any more complicated than that. They will make sure to take care of your home. And that means everything is up and running smoothly, which means everything is running efficiently and effectively, which saves you money, both in the long run on your bills and on all those utility bills. And also, it saves you from the big repair. And if you have to have the big repair, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling can protect you there too, because they're going to offer you a variety of different financing options depending on what's going on with your house. So they're like the amoebic defense, right? They don't really have they're not really a scheme. It's front multiplicity from Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. If you have a small repair that just needs a small fix, they've got a financing option for that. If it's a huge new repair for an entirely new unit, they've got no interest 5 years. That's no interest for 5 years, 60 months. For qualified buyers on new equipment, if you need to make that big purchase, let Spring Hill Heating and Cooling be your emergency plan. They will take care of you. That's why we're not using the other guys anymore. Again, locally owned. You know I tell you that every single time. Nearly two decades of experience. I tell you that every time. And it's why you should be using Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. It's why my family is having Spring Hill Heating and Cooling come out to their house next week. They're in the Comfort Club. Why? It's comfortable. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Check them out. SpringHillAC.com. SpringHillAC.com is the website. And tell them Braden sent you.